While researching for my book on soul food, I found out that every president has had an African-American chef, either as the head cook or as an assistant chef. And I'm just finding out a lot of history of that. So I started reaching out to chefs and just kind of find out what their life is like in the kitchen.
We've just seen Lee Daniels, the butler. What do you take from it from a historically reliable viewpoint?
I thought the film did an incredible job, one, of showing just the historical reach of these employees, the people working in the back of the White House. I mean, they saw some amazing things. And I also thought it was good showing the dignity that they brought to the job and the professionalism they brought. And that's why they were so valued. And how they were counsel for these presidents in many situations, especially on civil rights and race relations issues. I thought they did a very good job of showing that. And then also showing just the toll that being on call at the White House 24/7 has on a family. I think it was great how they captured that. And then also, they're just dealing with all the idiosyncrasies of every president and first family, right? You know, they're trying to figure out what they like because they want them to be as comfortable as possible. They know how hard it is to live in that house. They want them to be as comfortable as possible to get their favorite foods, their favorite drinks. And then if they don't have it, they find a way to get it to them. So, yeah, they sacrifice quite a bit.
Let's go to the story of the film. One of the themes that came through across this passage of time, for me, was aspirations. For all the staff, for all the advisors and cabinet members and senators.
Right. And so one of the things that we tend to forget is that for much of our history, being a domestic servant was one of the top jobs that an African-American could get because society said you were pigeonholed to pursue certain jobs. So that was the pinnacle. And so the fact that there was some generational tension there between the White House butler and his son coming of age during the civil rights movement, wanting more, I thought they did a great job of capturing that. But yeah, it was about aspirations in different sense.
Something special's going on down here, Dad.
What's so special about another colored man in jail? What are you doing, my hard-earned money, Pop? Are you even in school?
I'm trying to change the way Negroes
are treated in this country. You're breaking the law. That judge just sentenced you to 30 days in the county workhouse. You're fit to get killed.
If I can't sit at any lunch counter I want, then I might as well be dead. We're fighting for our rights.
Rights? Boy, what are you talking about?
We're trying to change a nation's consciousness toward the American Negro.
Then you're supposed to call me for sending me? You're a damn liar.
I have been in school.
Hey! Who do you think you're talking to? I brought you into this world. I'll take you out of it.
That father figure, the butler, you know, he had done what his society told he could do, and he did it well. But his son wanted something else and was aspiring for something else.
This may tie into what the butlers went through, and it was reiterated towards the end. There were really two faces for domestics.
There was one face with the professional face, like you point out, you know, and that was the very professional, almost caregiver in a sense, not only just serving food and drink, but making sure that these presidents and the first families were comfortable. But then you see this other life, and it shows the two sides of segregation almost, you know, that they can operate in this white world, in this very serious white world, but then they go back to this other black world and they can be themselves, let their hair down, and enjoy each other's company. And I think the film did show a lot about kind of the collegiality of the White House staffers and how they would often entertain and socialize outside of work, even though they were spending all that time at work as well.
As a writer, as a storyteller, how did Lee Daniels do as his big follow-up to Precious?
Kind of the standard for me in terms of covering historical arc over several decades is Goodfellas. I just like the way that film's progressed. I thought he did a good job of that. The pacing wasn't quite the same, so it seemed to slow down a little bit. But in terms of just covering almost eight decades, I just thought it was an amazing job. So, yeah, well done.
Do you want to address the performances by Forrest Whitaker, Oprah Winfrey, Cuba Gooding Jr., Lenny Kravitz? He really put together the dream cast.
He did, and I thought Forrest Whitaker was spot on in this the human dignity he brought to the role, and showing, okay, these are my circumstances. I'm striving for the best, though, for my family. And then I'm sorry, I don't remember the son's
who played Lewis Gaines.
I mean, you know, the raw emotion of, you know, sensing that there's something greater out there and something better, and the tension that he had, almost being ashamed of his father for kowtowing or just living in that. What previous generations of society had wanted from them, but also wanting better. I thought that dynamic was really good. And I got to tell you, Oprah surprised me, from the dancing and everything. But what she brought to the role, I thought was pretty powerful.
What I didn't want to see was, all due respect to Morgan Freeman, another driving Miss Daisy, though.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, even though it was about servants, these people weren't servile. Also, how much these leaders relied on them to give them a window on the black world and how often they sought advice from them. I thought it was really cool to do that. And then the cameos, you know, Terrence Howard, Mariah Carey, Lenny Kravitz, like you said, and the people they got to play presidents, you know, John Cusack as Nixon, Robin Williams as Eisenhower. I just thought it was really interesting. The two things that I didn't see in the film that I wish were there if I had a wish list was one, they showed the ritual of welcoming the presidents. So they showed a scene welcoming Jackie and John Kennedy. But there's also an important ritual of saying goodbye to the presidents as they are leaving office. And in memoir after memoir, presidents talk about how that was really special for them, that chance to say thank you. And then the other thing that wasn't evident is as much as presidents leaned on White House workers for advice, it didn't show how much civil rights leaders and other leaders in the black community went to these same people because they didn't have a direct ear to the president. They would plant seeds with these workers and hope that they would talk to the presidents about that. So I wish they had kind of shown that. But other than that, a great film, great film.
That's an unofficial back door that civil rights leaders actually did use with White House staff.
Right. And that, to me, is the true meaning of a kitchen cabinet.
Looking forward, what kind of an impact can a film like this have in America's ongoing race relations, in ethnic relations around the world?
So I think this is going to open up a generation that maybe had not thought about race this way into the dynamics of what went on in the past. And it's a good history lesson because one of the things you hear a lot is that a lot of young people don't really know our history, white and black, about what really happened in the civil rights movement and to the present day. And so by connecting those events in the past to the present day, in showing that historical arc, I think it's going to be very powerful and maybe get people to start looking at what really happened in the past and then try to forge a better future. Because I think one of the problems we still have today is we're still somewhat divided or we're like familiar strangers. So we know each other, but we don't really talk to each other and get to understand each other's stories. And I'm hoping this film can do something like that. And I think it's going to bring a lot more interest into what actually happened in the back stairs of the White House.
And maybe we'll get together over food sometime.
Amen, brother. I'm always about that.
Adrian Miller, Soul Food Scholar, thanks for your review.
Oh, thank you for having me.